Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hour number two, Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, Chase in for Caroline today. Actually, technically, I guess it's hour number one.
Yeah.
Chase and Michelle descended. You know, you would think I would know that, but changing it up today as we're live at Hermitage Golf Course for our second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura and For Souls For Souls. You can go to thegamenashville.com/golf. to donate or to participate in our silent auction. But talking a little Predators now, as you know, the Stanley Cup final is going on right now, but the Predators, Barry Trotz, the incoming general manager, in the planning stages of what's going to happen with the draft and free agency. Andrew Brunette introduced last week as the new head coach. And, Pete, do you remember the whole review process of that
goal? Oh, do I ever. I was so frustrated. I couldn't wait. Here I was, the announcer for the brand new team, and I couldn't call the goal because we had to wait.
That was
and
crazy.
it was long. It was a longer process.
It was
than
five
it is
plus
now.
Minutes. It was 5+ minutes.
And forget about the fact that most of the people watching that night weren't that familiar with the rule.
No,
right. And so we're confused as to exactly what the rule was. And so you and Terry were having to sort of explain how this works, right? This goal actually could count.
And it doesn't work that way now, okay?
Uh-huh.
Because that was the rule that followed up subsequent to that was if the net is knocked off at all, it can't count.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This one, the ruling was, had it not been knocked off, it would have been in.
Yeah. That was a hockey 201.
Yeah.
And we were all on hockey 101.
Yeah. It might have been more like 401, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. And there's still some rules today that come up, and you're like, what's the rule exactly on this? And even the league, when they refer to the rule book, it's not quite clear. But Andrew Brunette, it was fun to reminisce. He remembers the Hockey 101 days for sure. I told him, I said, I probably did two or three interviews with every player, including you. Hey, can you explain what are you looking for on a 2-on-1? Or what are you trying to do on a forecheck? What does that mean? Like, all of these really basic things that we would never think about doing today.
I was listening to the conference driving up to South Bend for my reunion, and I kept texting Crispy to ask a question, and obviously there was no response to that.
For his introductory press conference,
yes.
Yeah. It was
he was there.
It was awesome.
Was not,
yeah.
I said, hey, where'd you get the nickname Square Wheels?
My biggest takeaway from that press conference was, this is Trotsky's team, because I felt like every other question, I'll take that one.
Yeah.
It would crack me up. He would be like, nah, I'll answer that one.
Yeah.
So, but look, that's how it is. That's how it should be.
Well, Pete, you also referred to a big trade yesterday, and that sort of set the table for one of the things we were going to hit on today, because it leads to a big question. The LA Kings, we know, are a very good team that went through a pretty good transition. When they won the cup in 2014. They kept with that group for as long as they could go with. They still got a couple guys left. Drew Doughty,
yes.
Anje Kopitar. But they're starting to...
I would keep those guys around too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But they hit a point right around, 2018, where they started to break it down. And so for about 4 or 5 years, they really went through a legit rebuild. Now they have a lot of assets. They've started to get good the last couple years. And they need a goalie.
Yes.
They made the trade yesterday. For those that don't pay close attention, it was a three-way deal. It was complicated. But the key thing in the Western Conference was that they got a contract off of the books that was an albatross.
In total, off the books.
Yes.
$5 million a year for a guy who played in the American League this last year.
Yeah, Cal Peterson was the guy they thought was the guy, and he wasn't. He flopped last year. They sent him to the minors. They ate the money, and a lot of people around the league were wondering, okay, what are they going to do in goal? Because a guy named Phoenix Copley, who was another sort of journeyman, They caught lightning in a bottle for a while with him, and then they traded for Jonas Korpisalo, who was an upgrade, but he's a free agent, and they think they can do better.
And I think he's going to go elsewhere anyway.
Yeah, and so a lot of people think that they're going to be out on the market for a goalie, and there's a lot of goalies who are good goalies that might be available, but it's got people around here going, what about UC Saros, or, you know.
Well, there's one guy with another year on his contract still to go who I think is a target, and I really think that's Connor Hellebuyck.
Yes.
For Los Angeles.
That's an interesting – because I think Winnipeg's going to blow it up.
I think
they
should.
Need to. Yeah, I mean, now's the time to do that. They've tried to – it's kind of funny when you think about, like, the similarities between the Predators and the Jets, mm-hmm. because they kind of hit their stride at the same time.
Yes.
They had that great series that went seven games that we all remember between the two clubs, but they were kind of parallel to each other. And then once it kind of stopped and fell off, they tried to tweak it, tried to keep it going. Paul Maurice left. Peter Laviolette was let go here, and they couldn't quite get back. And so now it's, you know, the Predators are in more of a reset now with Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette coming in. What's Winnipeg going to do? Winnipeg, I think, is going to go more – they're going to have to blow up a little bit more than what
yes.
the Predators have had to do.
Yes. Now, a few years ago, they blew up their D-core.
Yeah.
And I think they rebuilt that pretty well. Even, you know, losing guys like Neil Pionk and so on, going to the New York Rangers.
Yeah.
He played very well for them. But, yes, I think the Hands are on top of the dynamite plunger right now.
Yeah.
Waiting to push on down.
And that the hard part is, can you really get the value back for the type of players that we're talking about? Hellebuyck
sure.
would be the number one example.
Yeah.
He's only got 1 year left. He's going to want a new deal. He wants to play for a contender, but how many of the contenders have what it takes? Now, the Kings would be in that category.
Oh,
now
yeah.
that they have some space, they could probably make a play. They also have very attractive assets because they picked high in the draft. They were trying to build up. They were trading off pieces to get prospects and high picks. And I think they're ready to keep the guys they want to keep and be ready to wheel and deal for the rest. And that's why this is really attractive. It's one thing to say we need a goalie, but you have nothing to trade.
Yeah.
And you don't have salary cap space, which is a little bit more like Toronto is in, right?
Oh.
Teams that have been contending for a while, they tend to have less. The Pittsburgh Penguins would be an example, right? They've got an older team. They've been trading off draft picks. They don't have a lot to trade if you want to make a deal like this. So immediately after this deal was completed, you started to hear rumors about Carter Hart being available. That's a good young goalie that hasn't blossomed yet. He's had some ups and downs. He got thrown into the league very, very young, which is a cautionary tale for people that love to watch Askarov.
Yes.
Right? It's just one of the reasons why sometimes it's better to wait and be patient with goalies.
And be overly ripe rather than just ripe.
So he's a guy that Philly thought maybe this was the guy that was going to be their goalie for 10, 15 years, but now they're willing to trade him.
Philly can't figure it out.
Philly has never been able to figure out goaltending
no.
since Ron Hextall was traded for Peter Forsberg.
Yep.
Yep. And then you guys probably saw it. A guy named David
Pagnotta
said the Kings and Predators had discussed a trade involving goalie UC Saros during the season prior to L.A. landing Korpisalo and Gavrikov. A package involved multiple first picks prospects. I'm curious if LA revisits these talks this month or if that ship has sailed. Now, remember, at the trade deadline, David Poile said UC Saros was not for sale. I don't doubt at all that while the Kings were looking for Korpisalo, they were making calls around for a lot of goaltenders, and I'm sure they talked to Predators about UC Saros at some point.
I think Rob Blake burned out two cell phones during that period.
I'm sure
of time.
He did.
I had
cell phone
said,
service in California, too. I'm sure it burns out a lot of.
Yes.
I had said during that time, if there was a team that was going to be all in and interested on Saros, it would have been L.A. because I think that team was probably a goaltender away from really competing in the Western Conference, and I still think they are. I mean, you look at some of the talent they have up front, and then obviously on the back end too.
But some of that talent we know pretty well.
And some of that talent we're very familiar with, Kevin Fiala and Victor Arvidsson. How about Arvidsson? He looks healthy. He's revitalized.
Elliot rumored that they might move him to clear more space. So
come on back.
It's just intriguing. I know Derek is in the camp of, look, man, I'm not trading UC Soros. Yeah. This is where Derek has been.
Yeah.
You got to blow me away to do
you,
it.
That's like, you know, if you were not on the, you know, train with trading A.J. Brown mm-hmm. when he was with the Titans, how in the hell can you be on the train of trading UC Soros? He has, other than Yossi, he has been the best player for this team. He's the quarterback for this team. And you have a high-level quarterback, an elite quarterback, you don't trade them.
No.
You don't trade them for nothing unless the team is giving you everything that they have, because you can't find these guys. They don't come around like – they're not a dime a dozen. These guys are special guys. And when you have a Minette, there's no – why do you – why does the conversation even come up? I know you got a scar off in AHL, but – he's a young kid.
Yes.
He's still years away.
Yeah, he's not ready.
That's like saying, I mean, again, when you have someone in net like that, you just don't – I don't think you even approach a conversation about
– you might trading. Get approached.
Yeah, you might
get approached. But you don't initiate.
You don't initiate a conversation like that with a guy that's playing at the level that he's playing at. To me, it's just – and I'm not saying that the Predators have. I'm sure they haven't.
Well, that's
teams
why
have approached them.
What I've said is, you got to give me, you got to blow me away, like you say. It can't picks and prospects. You got to tell me who the picks or who the prospects are, and are we talking how many first round picks? I mean, this is a franchise,
and I better get an established player too.
Well,
absolutely, absolutely.
So I'll throw you my scenario, and so this was a scenario I pulled out of thin air yesterday when we were talking about this. Nick and Michelle were like, "What's a trade? What's a trade you would do?"
Now I was listening at this period of time.
So you know where, and I'm going to add something to it because as I've thought about it later, I didn't like what I said. I need two.
You're renegotiating with yourself.
I need two firsts. I'm talking to Columbus. I need two firsts. Now I know they have Elvis. You know, is a goalie. He was pretty good, but he's not Soros. So two firsts, which would include the third overall this year. A third this year, Boone Jenner.
Ooh.
And then a prospect.
Okay, I want to ask y'all this question.
I'll add the prospect.
Should we take a break and ponder this for a minute?
And then we can take a break and ponder it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'll give you my
answer. You can ponder it, and then
– And then I –
I'm a ponder guy.
And then you – I like Ponderosa.
Yeah. We're and live. Then I ask my question.
And then you ask your question. Yeah. We're live today.
We will not throw in Christian Ponder.
No Christian Ponder. Sam Ponder, we'll take her.
Oh, yeah.
Christian Ponder, no. It's whatever show this is, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Happy, the ball itself has its own energy, or life force, if you will. Its natural environment is in the hole. So why don't you send him home? His bags are packed. He's got his airplane tickets. Bring him to the airport. Send him home.
Send him home. I just send him home. It's time to go home there, ball.
Ball, why didn't you just go home? That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me. Suck, ball.
Oh man!
Oh, a classic. Yes. Is there going to be Willie? Unlike
that
the
was,
third
that was live three coverage of our golf tournament.
Yeah, live coverage of Willie. Hole eight.
No, that was crispy. That was crispy.
No, you don't want to.
Back here, Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Pete Weber, Hermitage Golf Course, our golf tournament, second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament. Presented by Gary Force Acura and raising money for Souls for Souls. You can go to thegamenashville.com/golf to donate, to bid on auction items. You can also text donate to 615-737-1025 or auction to 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad's in the on-deck circle. He's going to jump in for me in a few minutes.
Yeah, he's pondering.
He's pondering. Yeah, he's got he's got the pine tar rag.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, so that was my – you have a question.
Yes.
So my trade was to Columbus for the third overall pick this year, a first next year, a third this year, Boone Jenner, and a prospect for UC Soros. That is the trade.
What prospect? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know their prospects. So I am leaving that up to.
Okay, and I'll throw it back at you immediately and say, why would I want Boone Jenner? He's a very good player.
28 goals last year.
Yeah, but he's good.
You need secondary goal scoring.
Yeah, but you got Evangelista, you got Tomasino, you're in a youth movement, right? You're trying to bring these guys in. This is UC Soros we're talking about here.
Sure.
I need more. That's my. I am hanging
so
up.
So who
the
do you
phone.
Want? Yeah.
I'm hanging up the phone. To
who
your
do you
pick.
Want? Give me. Do you want a forward? I mean, they're not going to give you Johnny Gaudreau. So, like, who do you want?
Johnny Gaudreau.
Patrick Laine? Would you take Laine?
I'm not calling you. You're calling me.
Yeah,
I'm just hanging up the phone.
And I would not take
call me back if you got something better.
I would not take Laine.
No, I don't want Laine.
Definitely not.
So I mean, I would take Jenner over Laine.
We can't make a trade.
Now,
we can't make a
it's
trade.
Gotta be, it's got to be a first line center.
Yes.
That is has got a huge
and that's what Barry
breakout,
wants. Yes.
Breakout ability. That's what they need.
Is Cole Sillinger, is that Mike Sillinger's son?
Yes, it is.
Huh. Interesting.
Now there's a guy
who could be traded as much as his father. His dad was only traded 10 times.
Yeah,
see, that,
I remember the alumni game where he was traded.
We traded him during the game.
Oh wow!
Now the third pick in the draft, that's legit.
Right.
That's a lot.
That's,
yes, it is.
But I need certainty for UC Soros. That could be part of it. And Boone Jenner is a nice player. He's got all the intangibles. He's played his entire career with Columbus.
You want a center. But I think the best player they have available would be potentially available would be Werenski.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. That'd be
interesting. That's the kind of
I would
mover.
Take that. I would take
that. Yeah, and they won't do that.
Right. Because I honestly think, like, if Columbus, with some of the moves they made, they added Provorov, it all practical purposes appears Mike Babcock is going to be the head coach.
Yeah. Just his contract run out with
they're
the Maple Leafs.
They're closer than people may think.
All right. I'm going to throw out another guy here. Well, let's get back to the Kings because we have no knowledge that the Blue Jackets are interested in this. You created this
scenario,
but you have, and to be honest, I was hearing things just like a lot of people about the Kings. Elliot mentioned it a couple times while the trade deadline was going on there, but he didn't mention any names. But one name that would intrigue me if we're talking about the Kings is Quentin Byfield. Now that's a guy that's got unbelievable potential. And it hasn't happened yet. Now, Pete, that's the thing. That's the trick with him. Because if you watch him play, you can see – and he's had a couple against the Predators where you say, oh, my goodness, this guy could be a superstar. He's been around. He's only 20. He's one of those guys. He was the second overall pick in 2020, but it hasn't exploded yet.
Right.
There's been flashes. But for me to trade UC Soros, that, you know, for him and another group of –
he has to have blossomed for me.
I tend to agree. And when I heard that, that's exactly what my reaction was back in March or whatever this was.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about UC Soros here. It's got to be a Wayne Gretzky, not quite that level, but it's got to be a ton of
it's got to blow
pieces
you away.
Pieces where you're sitting there going, or let's put it this way, Lindros, right? With
For the
Flyers to get Lindros, they gave up a ton, which included a guy named Peter Forsberg, eventually, right? So that was worth it.
Chris Simon.
Right?
Duchesne. The other Duchesne.
Not Matt Duchesne. Yeah.
So here's your question.
Derek's like, I'm hanging up the phone. I'm keeping Soros.
You got to come better than that. I'm hanging up. You're not going to even hear the dial tone. You're just not going to hear anything.
Hello?
So that tells you that you need to come back a little bit better than what you came back. Yeah. What you came with.
Barry, you there?
So at this, Soros is in year 8, right? Going on year 9 this upcoming season.
Jeez.
It's flown by. So once Pekka finally submitted himself as the goalie for the Nashville Predators.
And he was older when he did that.
He was older. So this might be a little bit off. But in year 8, where was he in – compared to UC Soros, and how far behind do you think UC Soros is from Pekka Rinne?
I think he's ahead of him. Well, at this,
Pekka was a late bloomer.
So as far as
career stats,
now if
UC is
their skill set. How closely Because we
it's a great
Pekka,
question.
Pekka is like the gold standard for goalies, especially here in Nashville.
I would be curious
okay, so
to hear Pete's answer on this, but my thought is the similarity is they both have what you want to invest in. Mm-hmm. So if you're thinking about, well, he's going to be expensive that next contract. Yes,
year eight was the hip.
Year eight was the hip.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Play 24 games.
But what you have, and this is an example, like Pekka worked his tail off, got back, and had great years after the hip injury. Right? It didn't bury him, which it could have. But UC Saros has got that same work ethic, professionalism. Like the story that John Hines loved to tell last year was the 64 save performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Against the Hurricanes.
Right.
Yes.
After the game, you know, it's not a huge media to cover the Hurricanes or the Predators, but after the game, when they were talking to the press, you could see UC Saros in the hallway. He was doing his post-game abdominal workout, like his routine. Like he wasn't rested on his
– no.
You know, wasn't like, hey, what a great game.
And he wasn't passed out on the floor.
Uh-huh. No, but he's got that work ethic. He's got the – like you say, the dog in him. He's going to give you everything he's got. He's going to stay in shape. He's going to do the work. Pekka, as he got older, he understood he had to keep working harder than everybody else to stay at the level he needed to stay. So to me, that's a guy that you feel very comfortable investing the big contract in. Mm-hmm. There are other guys that, I mean, we use different examples, but you're like, he's going to make the big money. Is he going to give me the same effort, the same professionalism? Will he be the same guy after he earns the money? I think Saros will be that guy.
To your question, uh-huh. I mean, year nine for Pekka, he was 32 years old. He should have won the Vezina that year. He finished second. I forgot who he finished second to. But he should have won. That was one of those, like, Weber should have had the
Norris.
The Norris. But so that was 14-15.
Yeah, and he got hurt. Remember, he was dominating. He might have been the MVP of the league.
Yeah.
Remember, Peter Laviolette's first year, they were something like 41-15 or something.
That's
like
right.
They
he
went
did
up to
miss.
It. Nobody expected him to do anything. He was, and then he hurt his knee, and wasn't quite the same.
Yeah, but he still played 64 games.
Yeah, he came back, but he was playing a ton.
I remember that.
Like Carter Hutt was getting only the backhand of back to backs. Is about it. But then it was a knee thing. Remember, he collided with somebody. And he missed a couple weeks.
But Saros is going to be 28 going into year nine.
Yeah, I mean, okay. That's the thing. Up at an earlier age.
So. Yeah. My question is, based upon all that I'm listening to you guys, when Pekka was at his peak, when he was playing well, there was never a conversation of a trade. Never. Not,
correct.
And maybe they didn't need
right.
it, but there was never a conversation, even a manufactured conversation of a trade. Saros is at his peak. He's there. He's 28 years old. Why is there even a conversation?
I can answer this. Because at that time, we had no idea. I mean, once Saros came into the fold, we had no idea that Saros was going to become what he did. Mm-hmm. Askarov, everybody thinks that Askarov is going to be that guy, is the next big thing. And
but
so,
you know what
even
Saros
though
it's
a,
is
unproven.
Now. You,
right.
know
you know
what he is.
Sure.
And he can get better. He's 28.
Look,
again, unless you're giving me two proven guys that can really play, that can help me immediately and, you know, 2-3 years down the line, and then some prospects, why do I even entertain a conversation?
You have to blow me away. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to really, really knock my socks off for me to even consider it. If they announced – well, I guess they can't do it. I mean, they can't do it yet. But, like, when he's eligible for a contract extension, if they announced that they were giving him an 8-year contract extension, I'd be like, fine. I'm good with it.
They should. There should be no question. There should be no question on
– go ahead and start putting his statue, getting it ready next to Pekka. Like,
yeah,
that's
but
fine.
There's no question
with
on
his,
whether
with Pekka's
we should
arm.
Yeah.
Right on his shoulder.
It pops.
But there's no question on – at least to me. Now, if he stays healthy this season, and I assume and expect him to play the way he has been playing, why wouldn't you sign him back?
Yeah, and I mean, I think ultimately they would. I mean, it's just – and I think Barry Trotz being as honest as he was when he was on with Jared, I think he answered that the right way of, look, I'm not going to close the door on anything because if somebody comes, you know, and offers me, he used the third pick in the draft.
He did say that.
He said, if they offer me the third pick in the draft, I got to think about
it. But he said for one of the
goals. Yeah, he wasn't saying Saras specifically.
But, and he didn't say it would be the only thing that you would trade.
And look, that is the question. If Columbus, because they have the third pick in the draft, if Columbus called him on draft day and said, we'll give you the third pick for Askarov.
I'd have to think about that.
I'd have to think about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, again, you know a little bit more of what Askarov is, whereas you have no idea what the third pick in the draft is going to be. But the third pick in the draft in this draft, I think, could probably play for your team now.
Maybe, but the more important thing is, could he be that guy that gets the fans out of their seats kind of guy?
And that's what you need. And he's looking for a centerman.
Yeah, especially at center.
Yeah.
So that is the question. I'm going to jump back on a little bit later, but Rex Rhodes going to come hang out with
team.
You guys.
Yep.
So maybe Nathan MacKinnon gets offered.
Then I might think about that.
You got to think about it. Then.
I might think about that. You can go to thegamenashville.com/golf to donate live at Hermitage Golf Course today. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, Chase, Pete, Joe, Junie, everybody here. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace continues here from the Hermitage Golf Club. We've got our golf tournament going on to benefit Souls for Souls. We're out here on the course. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Joe Rexroad has joined the conversation. Pete Weber, voice of the Preds, with us as well. We're kicking around. We'd love to hear some feedback on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, or call us if you would like, 615-737-1025. About the whole prospect, we know the Kings are looking for a goalie. There's rumors out there. There's a lot of goalies that are on the market, which is an interesting part of this equation as well. But if you got thoughts, Derek is sitting here going, why would you even think about trading UC Saros? Others are like, trade him, man, trade him. You got a scar off. But this is what's fun about the hockey offseason. 615-737-1025. Stephanie says on our text line, one of my favorite things about listening to your station is when D-Mace talks hockey. There you go. All right, Stephanie. Would we be able – this is another one. No name. Texter says, as Jared always says, Texter texts, would we be able to trade Saros and Askarov for McDavid and Draisaitl? I hear they need goaltending.
They do need goaltending. Yeah.
But, Pete, this is
a that would give
that
a number one
a
center.
And Joe, you guys I know have talked about it. I've talked to Robbie about it. You guys have kicked around. This theory is, do you have to have the great goalie to win the cup? And the answer is no. But – even though
you'd rather have one,
even though Vegas might win it, right? The Oilers are sitting there going, "Man, can we ever overcome the fact that we haven't had the goalie? Not having the goalie did sink
since
them.
Grant Fuhr."
Yeah,
that's right. No, yeah, no, of course. I mean, and the thing is, Aiden Hill's playing great, so you're still getting great goaltending, just not from a great goalie, right? But I would argue with D-Mace because I'm listening last segment, and here's the answer to your question of why would you consider it? Because this league is a hard cap league. And because when you get to this, and I'm not saying
but you're not basing it on Saros himself, the player.
No, but I mean, I'm basing it on Askarov, right, partially. I'm basing it on the idea that he has traits that tell you he can be great, and now you have a long time of that, longer time, and you have better financial situation for a long time with that. And if you can bring a big haul in, that's why. I mean, because you – and I agree with Willie what you said. I think that's a great point, like – Saros is totally like you do not have to worry about Saros signing a deal. Like he's gonna eat like three pieces of salmon at night and do his push-ups and, he's
while eating.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. But still, you're talking about a big number, and he, he has put on a lot of miles. And is it possible that during a stretch of time, when he's into the 30s, that Askarov is in the mid-20s, that you would have better goaltending? You don't know the answer, but it's possible, right?
It's possible.
It's possible Askarov is astoundingly good.
That's the hard part is, can you know that?
Can you know that?
And he made enormous strides, I would say. Would you say, Pete, this year, coming to North America, learning the language, played more than he's ever played before
and
in
yet,
the season, hit the wall a little bit at the end. But
he wasn't in there every game in the playoffs.
Yeah, he did hit a wall in the playoffs, and they had to go to Devin Cooley.
Yep.
But I think overall, his bars were very high. But again, at such a young age, like UC Saros became a backup And he was apprenticed for, what, five years under Pekka, right? Before he ever took
And I'm thinking also about mentioning Hellebuck for Los Angeles. He has more hard miles than Yusey does.
Yeah, see, I think you could make the argument that teams would offer more for Saros than they would for Hellebuck because he's younger and he's got 2 years
of a good term,
cap certainty at a very good price.
I mean, but you can, you know. How many years does Lankinen have on his contract? Another year?
One more
Just
year.
A one-year deal, yeah.
Okay, you let Lankinen play it out. If, you know, Askarov is continuing to make that progression, you move him up after you get rid of Lankinen. And then you wait a few years and say, is this guy, we treat him like we treated Saros with Pekka. Let him play 20 games, see how he does, and then increase it as it goes. And if he can handle it, then okay. But to me, you don't just give up. I'm not going to say give up. You just don't give away
right.
a proven goalie that's one of the top. He's a top five goalie in his league because of the prospect. And I understand the prospect has a lot of potential, but this guy has proven that he can carry your team. He doesn't need much. He can carry your team. But then you could bring the young guy along and just let him work it through.
I mean, I'd be open to the idea of someone threw out a scar for the three. Like, you're going to get less of a haul, but I'd be open to the idea of trading him. I just feel like when you have such quality, two guys in a spot, like you should parlay that into something when you have other needs, right? So I'm not opposed to that idea either. It's also, I kind of look at it like, okay, so if Barry Trotz can – do really well and hit on enough things, and you think about this term in teams. To me, I think about it in terms of the window of Yossi still being great. I think about it in Forsberg. So that's the kind of the argument for you of Saros. Like, okay, so like in 24, 25, 25, 26, like can this team be rallied back up to like a really competitive team? Some of these young guys really come on. Well, then you might be better off if Saros, even at that bigger number, if you can make it all work, you know what he is. Is Askarov ready to be a top guy by then? I don't know. I mean,
it's a very good question. We've got a lot of good texts coming in here on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I totally agree with D-Mace. Trading Saros should not be a conversation. Plus, Poile acquired a lot of draft capital. And that is a good thing to note. Is they have stocked. They never traded the first-round picks for the last 5 years anyway, so they already have a good farm system. And now you've got all these picks that you just got. And they won't help you right away. Like you're saying, Joe, how quick can you see the fruits of that? But they have stocked up in the farm system.
The Tanner Janot type they got from Edmonton in the trade. I can't wait to see him.
Yeah, Reed Schaefer.
Yeah.
He just lost in the Memorial Cup, but he had a very good postseason.
Yep.
So
his
see
mom doesn't make cheesecakes as good as Tanner's did.
But, that's going to be tough to replace.
Yeah.
You know this?
Yes.
You know this for a fact? Okay.
Yeah.
It's tough to beat. Let's see. What else we got? Allie in Bellevue. And why is it not refreshing? Trading Saros feels like trading Derrick Henry, except with more years left and therefore more return.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're doing it based on adding more, you know, players to your roster, better players, okay, I can potentially see that. But when do you make that happen? Do you wait another year? Do you sign him to a contract and then wait a year after that, 2 years after that, and see if you can move him? Because you expect once he signs the contract, he's still going to play at a high level.
You're not moving him after that. So that's why I think this summer, with 2 years at that number, that's why I think it's max value right now, you know? Mm. And so, and also, look, I have no idea how they're thinking about this, but if you think about this in terms of a reset, you know, and the idea that, oh, Saros won't – you can't be too bad with Saros as your goalie. Mm. Well, if you move him this summer and you get it – and I agree, like, the return's got to be something – it can't just be picks and stuff. But then, like, next year you'd have that in-between year. Askarov is definitely not ready to be, you know, I don't think in the NHL. So you have the kind of an in-between. You might be kind of bad, but, you know, you have a higher pick and then you kind of build from there. I mean, I know some people don't have that appetite for that down year, but – sometimes those can work out for you.
In the early 70s, the Canadians had a similar conundrum with two goaltenders that they were concerned about playing. So they traded Rogie Vachon to the Kings and brought in this guy, Ken Dryden.
Yeah.
But Dryden won a Stanley Cup for them before they moved Rogie.
That was pretty interesting. So they knew a little bit of what he had
with
him. When we come back, we've got a ton of people that have texted in here. So, guys, stick around, and we'll get more of the text on our text. A lot of people weighing in. How do you feel about just entertaining the idea of trading a UC Soros or Mr. Askarov? When we come back, we'll have more from Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game.
Yeah! There you go. Good shot.
About time.
Hey, it is about time. I mean, I just couldn't get the ball in the hole. I wanted to, but I just couldn't do it.
That wasn't when Bob Barker punched
No.
Sandler, right? That happened somewhere along the line.
That was a classic part of that movie.
Ended up in the lake. We're here at the golf tournament at the Hermitage on hole one or hole 10, depending on way you're going. We got the carts flying by us. We're having a good time. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Joe Rexroad, Pete Weber. And we're talking about should the Predators entertain the idea of trading one of the goaltenders. A lot of people weighing in on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Raymond and Franklin, I don't know if I want my goalie with a huge personality like Askarov. Do you want the quiet goalie that's ultra-focused? I do. That dude's going to blow his shoulder out trying to bench press the net one evening. People have not seen Askarov, he's got flair, right? He gets a shutout, he throws the goal down. He even did push-ups or bench pressing the goal. At times he has fun. He'll come way out of the net. He makes Evel Knievel Thomas Vokoun
look a little bit tame. Yeah, he looks like a he makes Thomas Vokoun look like a conservative in that regard. Yeah.
And Joe, this is what remember Askarov played the one game in Montreal. Yep. In that game, Pete, you'll remember this. They were killing a penalty. He came way out of the net. He made an amazing play. He gets the puck. He snaps the pass up the ice to the blue line, and he's thinking, "See, look what I can do." The problem is none of his teammates knew exactly what was going on, and they got a too many men on the ice penalty because they were going for a change. Yep. And it's like he's got these amazing talents, but you have to do it in the context of the game. And these are the things he's got to learn. But that's the thing about him that's so tantalizing but also might scare you a little bit. Now, it scares Raymond here.
Now, can you, because at the lower level, you can get away with that more than likely. You can get away with some of the things that he's doing. Now you put him in the setting where you're not getting away with that. So will he conform or will he still continue to
– great question.
You know,
that is a great
have
question.
The showboat in him, will he continue to come out? There's nothing wrong with it, but you just got to know when you can do it and when you can't do it.
Raymond and Franklin needs to just bite your tongue, buddy. Okay? As a media person, it's all about us, and we want the showboat.
We want showtime.
We had showtime.
But in all seriousness, I think he'll figure that out, right?
Yeah.
That's why you have coaching and mentors and growing maturity. I think if he finds that happy medium, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch him, right? I mean, you think about Soros. Fantastic, but obviously there's such a transition from the way Pecorino used to play the puck, and although UC has definitely
he's
developed that, but that could be at times also a little bit death defying, right? With Pekka, you know, and I have visions of Askarov, learning the language better and better, being an amazing quote, you know, and just like you talk about getting fans out of their seat. Why can't a goalie be that guy too, right?
I'm just waiting
for him to have a lot of flair.
I'm waiting for Igor Afanasyev to really help him with the language because he is great with English.
Yeah, he's been his interpreter at times. And he did an interview with Aaron Sims, and at the end of it, apparently he said, I think you need to fire me as your interpreter now. You can do these in English.
Yeah.
So he has learned it.
Yeah.
He's getting better. Now let's get to Nate on the line. Nate, sorry, we're out here on the golf course here. We did not see you were on there. And so Nate even texted saying, hey, I'm on the phone. Take my call.
Hey, Nate.
We
Nate,
got you, Nate.
What do you got?
What's up, guys? It's all good. Derek's question, why would you even entertain the question of trading Soros? Yes, you need a good goal, at least a good goalie, to win a cup. But in the past few years, the Preds have really shown us that we really need a perennial goal scorer. And like y'all were saying, it just depends on how much Soros can fetch the Preds. But they haven't really had it, and he is in his prime, and I feel like he would, you know, fetch a good amount, like y'all been, you know, talking about wanting. So he's at a lower pay rate, and that's very attractive because, you know, like y'all were talking about the hard cap, unlike the fake NFL cap. Just my thing is just you need a perennial goal scorer, and there's only a few ways you can do that or get that.
Thank you, Nate, for the call. Okay, if that is indeed, and I'm not saying Nate's wrong at all. Obviously, in this day and age of hockey, just like any other sport, premium is scoring, and fans love scoring. So you got to try to find a way to get you a perennial goal scorer. But I hear some of the fans, but are you willing, like you said, Rex, are you willing to stomach some years possibly not being good? You may be scoring some goals.
Yeah.
You may be scoring 3-4 goals, but you're giving up 4-5 goals. Can you stomach that as a fan base? I can answer that question for you right now. No, you're not going to stomach it. You're not. So you got to find, if we trust, just like I've always said Mike Vrabel.
Yes.
If you trust Mike Vrabel, then what's going on with this team, it'll be okay if you trust him, because that's all we have. Trust Mike Vrabel. If he gets fired, he have a job before the ink gets dry on the paper. If indeed you trust him, trust Barry Trotz to find you some goal scorers. Trust that he can make the moves without, you know, sacrificing net to make the moves to bring in some guys that can score. Trust that the guys in Milwaukee will be able to move up eventually and be your goal scorers. Trust that those guys will develop them into good goal scorers. If you are going to trust Trotzy, trust that he's going to do that without giving up or compromising the net.
I do trust him. I trust that he can make a very good trade for Soros for some goal scorers.
But then you're compromising the net still.
All right, how about this? Are you fine then with a Skarov? Like if you can move a Skarov for something decent, move a Skarov?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, but, I mean, it goes back to the potential of a young player. The potential seemed endless, but will he ever reach that potential? Potential is a scary word because it can get you fired.
Sure.
It can have It can have you hold on too long to an individual because he shows the talent. I'm not saying this young kid can't play because I'm sure he can, but I'm not trading a known commodity for someone that I think, even though he shows, but someone that hasn't proven it.
It's an envy. This is something I think we're going to be talking about for a long time.
Until something happens.
Yeah.
Especially until they address UC Soros' contract, which would be –
which you can't do until the first.
Right. So you've got another year before you could even entertain. It's where Hellebuck is in his situation right now. A couple more texts I want to get to. Would stink to trade Soros away, but if he's eventually traded away, his value has never been higher than it is right now. And I agree with that.
Yeah.
His trade value is probably the highest right now, more so than next year.
Well,
if you thought about this next year.
Well, and also, we were talking about this on our show at some point not too long ago. Look, what if it is fire wagon hockey next year? Right, with Andrew Brunette, and it's a little bit looser, and his numbers aren't as good, and now you only have the 1 year term left. He's coming off. I mean, to me, he should have been a Vezina finalist. He wasn't, but he's that level of player, and you have 2 years of that AAV. So I agree. I think it's hard to count on the value being this high a year from now.
Yep.
And I think that's where analytics probably will help him. If it is fire wagon and the chances, I'd have a hard time believing that the chances would be higher, because last year his degree of difficulty, that was probably his best argument for the Vezina, is he faced more heat than a lot of the players that are probably going to win the one that wins the Vezina this year, if you assume it's going to be Umar. Let's see. There's one more. One person I can't find. There's so many here, and we lost the connection to the Wi-Fi for a second, but one person made the connection of the A.J. Brown. He said, this sounds a lot like A.J. Brown. Why would why would you make the same mistake the Titans did, trading a known commodity for a pick that you hope will become the guy? Now,
Marvin
maybe
Harrison
someday,
Jr. wasn't in the pipeline.
You know? Well, Treylon Burks, I said you hope that he becomes something really good. But right now, you're sitting there going, yeesh.
But I think with that, it's a little bit different because, you know, football doesn't have their farm league. Their farm league is college.
Right.
And you can't just say
– you don't know who you're going to get.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know who you're going to get. So, you know, trading away AJ, it was different because you didn't have – to me, you didn't have anyone that showed potential to make you say, okay, it's good to trade AJ. But I understand what you know, some fans are saying, or the argument of, well, if we're going to trade away Sorrows, we need to do it quickly because we do have someone that is we think has the potential to be that next great goalie in Nashville Predator history.
It's a really interesting situation. And again, I go back to the cap on that too. Mm-hmm. It's like, I mean, I think John Robinson made a big mistake, obviously. I think he panicked. And in the NFL, you know, like, I heard some people say, well, see, they couldn't have signed Simmons because if they would have kept Brown. No, they could have. They could have had both of them. You can do things. The cap is real, okay?
Yeah.
The cap is real. But you can do things. But in this league,
it's
if you're sticking with Soros, you're going to sign him to about, what's he, is he eight? Eight and a half? Well,
it'll be interesting
in there, right?
How the market shifts because the cap will go up.
Right.
Yeah. So that will be the question.
And the goalie price seems to be going down.
So maybe it's not terrible, but you are married to that for the term.
To me, I'd be pretty happy with eight.
Yes,
I'd think he's worth.
If you're the Preds, you're happy with eight.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm looking ahead.
I mean, he's an incredible bargain right now.
I couldn't
believe
they got him for five for the last contract. Really.
Yep.
So trading away Soros is like trading away AJ Brown, hoping for a cheaper receiver who does the same. You don't get rid of good players. That's just to finish the thought on the text.
Again, so much of this is the answer we don't know. What do they truly believe about Askarov, and what is the reality of Askarov?
Yeah, and do you need another year to look at it before you have a clearer picture? Because they could table this until next year for sure.
Yes, so they could.
We'll have a year to argue about it.
Yeah. This could be a whole year's worth of shows.
Exactly.
Great year for the shows. All right, we're going to change gears. We're going to talk to Jonathan Hutton coming up next. As we move forward here with Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, we're here at Hermitage for our golf tournament here to benefit Souls for Souls. Stay tuned. Noon hour coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.